which is the name of the sweet state.
Willkommen Sie können in Deutschland. Professor Stefanovas.
Thank you, Chair. Article 4, which defines a resident, also looks at situations where either an individual or a company could be a resident for tax purposes of more than one country. The concept of dual residence. Now, with regard to companies, normally we solve that problem by including a tiebreaker rule, what we call a tiebreaker rule, in paragraph 3 of Article 4. In this particular agreement, and in fact in the one with Sudan, we're using a new approach to this, Chair, in that oftentimes the problem with dual residence of a company is actually caused by the people who incorporate that company and perhaps incorporate it in one country and then do the business in another country, and that creates a problem. So what we've said here is that in a case of dual residence of a person other than an individual, then the competent authorities shall by mutual agreement endeavour to determine the mode of application of the agreement to the person. We would then be looking at factors such as where is the actual business taking place, etc., etc. If we cannot agree, then we make it clear that that person will not be entitled to any of the reliefs or exemptions from tax provided by the agreement. Countries using this approach have found that what normally happens is the company solves the problem itself by taking out the aspects which have created the dual residence, and we think that that's a far better approach to this particular problem. Article 5, dealing with permanent establishment. Because of our very close relationship with Lesotho, normal building site construction assembly installation project, the limitation here is 6 months. However, with regard to the furnishing of services through employees, the period which would create, which would be used for the threshold of permanent establishment is cut in respect of Lesotho to 90 days in any 12-month period. Also, the performance of professional services, lawyers, doctors, etc., the period is cut to 90 days in any 12-month period. Article 7, dealing with business profits. There is no real difference here in relation to the normal OECD paragraph. What we've done in this particular agreement is that we've used the United Nations model, which in fact spells out in greater detail what the OECD in fact says by way of an interpretation of the normal words. So there's no real difference. Basically what we're saying is that there should be no payment between a head office and its branch in relation to royalties and interest and similar fees except for expenses actually incurred. The concept is simply that you cannot pay interest to yourself. And in respect of intellectual property, you cannot allocate ownership of that intellectual property between a head office and its branch, which is in fact one legal entity. Article 8, dealing with international transport. We've extended it beyond merely ships and aircraft to also rail or road transport vehicles in relation to Lesotho. And we say that it's taxable only in the state in which those particular vehicles, be they ships, aircraft, road vehicles, rail vehicles, the state of residence of the person operating them. Article 10, dividends.
Chair, so it says that there's little to have ships.
We'll come to that during question time. Mr. Putnam.
Sorry, Chair.
Can members please resist from
the dividend rate on on the source state, the limitation of on the dividend rate of taxation in the source state for dividends is 10% if the shareholding is at least 10%, and 15% in all other cases. We also, in this particular article, bring in a provision which says that if a country imposes a branch profits tax, that's the repatriated income of the resulting from the profit earned by a branch in the other country, then the state in which that branch is situated may not impose a higher branch profits tax than 10% on the amount of the repatriated income. This, of course, is not of concern to South Africa in that we do not have a branch profits tax, but it is of concern to Lesotho, and for that reason we make provision for it in this particular article. Article 11 on interest, the source state right of taxation is limited to 10%. Royalties equally, 10% in the source state. We then have an article dealing with fees for technical services. And in this instance, we limit the source state right to 10% of the gross amount of such fees. The Lesotho does impose a withholding tax in respect of these fees when it's paid to non-residents of Lesotho, and therefore they've agreed to lower that rate if it's paid to South African residents. Income from employment. This is a very minor difference. For some unknown reason, Lesotho didn't like 183 days. They preferred 182 days. So it's a difference, and I'll mention it. Article 17, entertainers and sports persons. The normal rule for these entertainers and sports persons is that the state in which they exercise their activities has an immediate right of taxation. There is no threshold other than the fact that they're in a country to perform those activities of entertainment or sport. Paragraph 3, however, takes it a little bit further and says that if that visit is supported wholly or mainly by public funds of the first mentioned contracting state, then the income shall be taxable only in the state from which they come. So this is to promote cross-border visits by perhaps cultural entertainers where the visit is being funded by the state which sends them. Article 18, dealing with pensions, says that payments made under a public scheme which is part of the social security system of a contracting state as opposed to private pensions shall be taxable only in the state which pays them. Article 21 has the professors and teachers exemption. And once again, I'd like to stress that it has to be in respect of teaching at a recognized educational institution. Article 27 has the assistance in recovery provision. And this is very important in relationship to Lesotho and South Africa. We have a common border. I think taxpayers are relatively free to move between the two. And it's sometimes difficult to make sure that you have all your taxes before someone leaves. So this was an important step forward in our treaty with Lesotho. I'd like to stress also here that the taxes referred to in this particular article go beyond income tax, but would also include taxes of every kind and description. So for argument's sake, would also include VAT, which might be outstanding. In the elimination of double taxation, Lesotho being a member of SADC, we have the principle that South Africa in the region has no problem in allowing the concept of tax sparing. Tax sparing is simply a situation where the other country has a tax holiday scheme. So for argument's sake, the Lesotho might have a tax holiday scheme payable in respect of manufacturing processes where a plant is set up in Lesotho and they have a tax holiday for 5 years or whatever it is. The problem, of course, is that If it's undertaken through, say, a branch of a South African company, South Africa would, firstly, under its domestic law, be taxing that company on the basis of residence and respective income worldwide. So where the Lesotho gives up its tax, it might be that South Africa will tax that income, and therefore the company is in no better position, because instead of paying tax in Lesotho and then getting that as a credit against South African tax, South Africa merely taxes without having to give a credit. So that negates against the effectiveness of these economic promotion schemes. Taxpaying seeks to solve this by saying that South Africa, if you tax this income which has been earned and not taxed under tax holiday scheme in Lesotho, then you shall give a credit for the amount of tax which would have been paid in Lesotho were it not for that particular economic promotion scheme. So that enables that tax holiday scheme to work effectively in Lesotho in this particular example. And as I've said, it's something that we do within the confines of the Southern African Development Community. There's a protocol to this treaty, and firstly, in paragraph 1, Lesotho has agreed to give us a most favored nation clause. And what they've said is that if in any future agreement which they negotiate, they allow for lower taxes, withholding taxes to be imposed on dividends, interest and royalties, which go from Lesotho to whoever that new agreement is with, they will immediately allow us to get the same beneficial treatment. And then paragraph 2 clarifies that the economic promotion schemes which would qualify for the taxpayer credit which I dealt with just previously, that we would not regard schemes to qualify in respect of financial intermediation activities such as banking and insurance, the licensing of intellectual property, shell businesses which are not engaged in substantive business operations, or D, passive income, in other words, interest, dividends, royalties. This is the normal approach that we take, in that we're saying we don't mind helping in a situation where it's bricks and cement projects which are happening in the other state, but certainly not in respect of things like offshore financial service centers, etc. Those are the comments on the Lesotho chair. Shall I carry straight through to Sudan? Sudan. Article 4 resident, as I mentioned, for Lesotho. We have the same tiebreaker rule for companies where we say it shall be decided by mutual agreement with